Hey, Rev City, friends and family, we are so glad that you are with us today. Resurrection Sunday, Jesus is alive.
We are so glad that you joined us today. We have an awesome service planned for you. We're going to worship. We're going to get an encouraging message. And as part of our service today, we're going to be taking communion together. So if you haven't already, I want to encourage you, gather some elements, some crackers, some juice, whatever you have on hand, and be ready for an amazing service today.
And let me encourage you, don't just watch today's service. Lean in to worship, pray, and to hear what God wants to speak to your life today. And would you allow me to pray over our time together? Father, in Jesus' name, we're so thankful for the risen life of Jesus and the life we have in Him. And as we worship Him, we thank You that today You're going to fill our hearts and fill our homes with Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's worship the Lord together today.
Riding the lowly back of a donkey. No other king could break the dominion of darkness, the tyranny of evil, with a reign of grace and a kingdom of peace. No other king could give his life for the redemption of rebels, his wealth to welcome the outcast. Jesus is that king, the king of glory, son of the living God. Not just another king, not just another prophet, not just another teacher. He was the one the world had been waiting for. The one to deliver us from captivity, the son of David and Abraham's chosen seed. He is the goal of the Mosaic Law, Yahweh in the flesh. He is the one to establish God's reign and rule, to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, freedom to the prisoners, and proclaim good news to the poor. This Jesus was the Creator come to earth and the beginning of a new creation. He embodied the covenant, fulfilled the commandments, and reversed the curse. This Jesus is the Christ that God spoke of to the serpent, the one prefigured to Noah in the flood, the one promised to Abraham, the one guaranteed to Moses before he died, the one promised to David during his reign, the one revealed to Isaiah as a suffering servant, the one predicted through the prophets and prepared for through John the Baptist. He is the Father, Son, Savior of the world, and substitute for our sins. More loving, more holy, and more wonderfully terrifying than we ever thought possible. He is our Jesus, and there is no other king like him. He is our God, our glory, our victorious Savior. There is no other king like him. There is no other king.
It is well with our soul today. And I just hear the Lord say, just join me. Join me where I am. You don't have to do anything else, just join me. In my intercession, in my peace, in my promptings, he's everywhere. Join me even in my common sense. I'm there with you every day. I'll tell you exactly where to go. I'll tell you what, today there's no one I would rather join than Jesus Christ.
Cause death could not hold you, the veil tore. Thank you.
I was buried beneath my shame. But who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you.
That attitude of worship. What an amazing time of worship today. God is alive today. Jesus Christ is resurrected. The tomb is empty, and what a reason to celebrate.
That's right. Welcome to church. We are so glad that you're here. If you're there with someone else, would you just turn to them and shout, Jesus is alive, as we continue with our service.
God bless you guys.
Welcome to Rev City Church, and welcome to our family. We are so glad that you are here. Here at Rev City, we are family, and we hope that you feel welcomed, accepted, and loved. Be sure to connect with us on social media to find daily encouragement, updates on upcoming events, all of our video sermon series, and so much more. We hope that you are blessed by the rest of our service. Have a great day.
Hey, Rev City friends and family. My name is Eddie Diaz, and I'm one of the pastors here at Rev City. We are now going to continue our worship through bringing our tithes and giving offerings. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Each and every week, as we gather to worship God, people from all walks of life surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. Your giving makes that possible. When you give, it helps to provide an environment to hold our celebration services at the church and now online. As you tithe and give offerings, it allows us to provide resources to those new followers of Jesus Christ. And on days like today, Resurrection Sunday, we learn of all that Jesus accomplished through his death and his resurrection. Jesus is alive today, and your partnership with him is making a huge difference. Thank you for your continued faithfulness and generosity through bringing the tithe and giving offerings. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity we have each week to bring our tithe and to give offerings, to partner with you as you build your church. We give as an act of worship, and today we celebrate your resurrection. Bless these tithes and offerings in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today. Now let's continue to worship together.
I saw Jesus crucified. I spoke to him as he died. I saw him in his struggle. I watched as he breathed his last breath, and when he stopped breathing, I lost my breath too. The one who walked on water is no more. The one who fed 5,000 is now food for the worms. And if he has been defeated, what does that mean for me? I am nothing, and I left everything to follow him. If I knew it would have ended like this, well, I guess I may have reconsidered. I thought that he would be the king who would rise up and rule our nation. I thought that we were the ones to bring truth and revelation, but it turns out we were wrong. I mean, maybe we imagined this all along. As I watched his body taken down from the cross, I saw my friend was gone. He was the one who found me. How could this be? He must have gone before his time. It must have been too soon. It must have been an illusion or a dream. He can't be in a tomb. I can't come to grips with the thought that the man who claimed to be I Am was slain by the hands of men. And then she burst through the door. Our friend Mary, she said someone had taken the body of the Lord. So we ran to the tomb, only to find an empty room. And the stone was rolled away. The Roman seal was broken. And in those days, you did not mess with the Romans. So whoever did this was either bold or God. I looked on the floor, and I saw his clothes. And that's when I knew he rose. Jesus is alive. He did walk on water. He did feed the 5,000. He did raise Lazarus from the dead and heal thousands. He did make the wine. He did talk to God. He did pray for those who put him on a cross, and he raised back to life. Just like Lazarus, except for he would never die again. Jesus took death. Nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a crown of thorns on his head. For you, he laid his life down, and he took it back again. Jesus is alive.
Hey, Rev City, friends and family, and it is so good to be with you today, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And you know, anytime we get to celebrate Jesus, it's special, it's powerful. But there's just something special about Easter Sunday. And maybe it's because what we're celebrating today is no story. It is no fable. It was a historical event that really happened and has impacted the world for all eternity ever since. And today, again, I'm coming to you right here from Rev City Church, where this room where we normally gather together to worship Jesus. And I believe we'll gather together again soon. And come on, won't that be a glorious day? This room is empty, but I was reminded that this empty room has something in common with the tomb in the nation of Israel. Last time they checked, his body was not there. That tomb is also empty because death could not hold him. Death could not defeat him. He is alive, and the tomb is still empty. Come on, that's good news. That's the message of Easter. And listen, Easter is the message of hope. And maybe more than ever in my lifetime, and perhaps even in your lifetime, I believe the message of Easter is what our world requires. This message of hope, this message of triumph in the face of evil and adversity. And if you have your Bible with you, turn to Colossians chapter 1. And let's look at how this summarizes what God was working and what God was doing through the message, the story of Easter. And it says this, Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, God was pleased to make peace by sacrificing his, talking of Jesus, blood on the cross, so that all beings in heaven and in earth would be brought back to God. And then listen, speaking about every one of us, you and me, it says you used to be far from God. Your thoughts made you his enemies and you did evil things. But his son became a human and died. So God made peace with you. And now he lets you stand in his presence as people who are holy and faultless and innocent. And come on, just pause right there for one moment. Isn't that amazing to think about the fact that because of Easter, because of the cross of Jesus, God no longer sees you through your past. He no longer sees you through your sin and your shame. He sees you through the precious shed blood of his son, Jesus Christ. It says holy, faultless, innocent. That's how God sees you and I. Come on, that's good news. And reading on, it says, but you must stay deeply rooted and firm in your faith. You must not give up the hope that you received when you heard the good news. Would you allow me to pray over our message? Just invite the presence of God right where you are today to come and to speak to you, to remind you of some things, to remind you of this hope that we received and have access to when we heard the message of Easter. And Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the power of the cross to once and for all defeat sin, death, and the grave. Thank you for what we're celebrating today, the risen life of Jesus Christ and the life we have in him. In Jesus' mighty name, we welcome you to speak to us and remind us of the hope we have in you. And all of God's precious people said, come on, amen, amen, amen. Because of Easter, we have hope. And it's saying there, you must stand firm in your faith and you must not give up this hope. He's saying, don't give it up. Hang on, cling to it. Don't easily let it go. This hope that we have because of the message of the cross. And listen, in this season, there's a lot of talk about what's essential, about what are essential businesses and what are essential workers. And listen, we're going through some difficult times in this season. And be encouraged. God never promised us that we wouldn't go through difficult seasons. He just promised us that he would be with us in the midst of them. And perhaps now more than ever, in a season where there's difficulty, in a season where there's uncertainty, and because difficult times are inevitable, more than anything else, hope is essential. And listen, I really believe in my heart that it's one of the ways that God is doing what his word says, to take all things and work them together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That he's using this season where he's interrupted our lives to really cause us to take inventory about what's essential in our lives. What's really important in our lives? What really matters to God? And does that really matter the most to us? He's caused us to come back to our families, and he's caused us to focus on our faith because we're not good enough, we're not strong enough to make it through this season on our own. What's essential? What's important? And again, because adversity and difficult seasons are inevitable, hope is essential. And listen, hope can be misplaced. And that's another thing that I believe the Lord is doing in our hearts and doing in our lives, is causing us to realize some of the places or people that maybe we've placed our hope and placed our trust. Today, God's reminding you, he's reminding me, that there's no source of hope that's truly unshakable other than our source of hope we have in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And listen, one of the things that I most appreciate about the story of Easter is the fact that it doesn't shy away from the difficult, painful moments, the difficult, painful chapters that Jesus experienced as he was on his way to the glorious resurrection that delivered us to eternal life and victorious life. The Bible doesn't shy away from the difficulties and the pains and the trial that Jesus himself experienced. There was a resurrection, but there was also a cross. There was also a betrayal. There was also a tomb, which represents a season of doubt and darkness and uncertainty. And get this, isolation, where there's uncertainty and there's doubt about what our future is really going to look like. That's part of the story of Easter. And so as they laid Jesus' body in that tomb, I have no doubt that they were filled with hope and expectation because of everything that the Lord Jesus had already done, everything they had seen him do. But the Bible shows us that they still were dealing with doubt. They still were questioning, would Jesus really rise? Would Jesus really do what he said he would do. And we see that in Mark chapter 16, verse 3, which says this: on the way to the tomb, they were asking one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? They knew what Jesus had said. They knew what was promised, but they were still, even on their way to the tomb, doubting. They still thought that that stone would be in place. And maybe today there's some sort of a stone that's in your life, something that seems immovable, something that you've been praying and hoping and trusting that God would show up and in his mighty power move. But today you find yourself in a position of doubt or a position of delay. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, you're not alone. That's part of the story of Easter. The cross, the tomb, but ultimately, come on, aren't you glad the story wasn't finished there? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you today about the cross of Jesus Christ. And I hope that what I share with you today will cause you to never see the cross the same again. That I believe when you see a cross, whether it's on the top of a church building or on a necklace around somebody's neck, that when you quickly see that cross, you can be reminded of just the magnitude of what the cross means to you, about what it accomplished for you. That when we see the cross, we picture, just picture it today, those two beams that cross. And when we picture the cross, we see that there's a beam that points upward. And it can remind us quickly when we gaze upon that cross that the cross of Jesus Christ happened to restore relationship between you and I to our Heavenly Father. That's the whole motivation of the message of Easter. Relationship with God restored. In Ephesians 1, verse 5 and verse 6 says this, that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Come on, when you look at that cross, you can quickly be reminded that it wasn't to just get you into a religion. It was to restore a relationship with your Heavenly Father, who loved you too much to leave you in your sin, who loved you too much to leave you where you were. He sent his one and only Son to lay down his life for you. Why? To restore a relationship with you. That same beam that points upward and reminds us of a relationship restored with God points downward and reminds us that the cross of Jesus Christ forever defeated sin, death, and the grave. Come on, 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 and 10 says this: God saved us. He called us to a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Jesus Christ. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality. And listen, let me encourage you today, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, you do not have to fear death. The Bible says, what can separate us from the love of God we have in Christ Jesus? So in this season where the fear of sickness and death is swirling all around us, be comforted, be encouraged, be reminded the cross of Jesus Christ forever dealt with sin, death, and the grave. You do not have to fear death. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And then there's that second beam, the one that points to the left and to the right. And I believe it symbolizes the way that the cross of Jesus Christ forever dealt with our past, all our sin, all our guilt, and all our shame. Listen, on a scale of 1 to 100, how good of a person are you? I mean, really, think about it. Even on your best day, how good, how high of a score on that scale would you really allow yourself to give yourself? And it really underlines when we begin to think about that, that what the Bible says is true. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all had need of a Savior. We all have sin, and we all have a past, and the cross of Jesus Christ came. Come on, would you picture it? It points upward. It reminds you that he came to restore a relationship. It points downward. It reminds you that he forever defeated, he conquered sin, death, and the grave. And it points backwards, reminding you that the cross of Jesus Christ has dealt with your sin. Come on, not just dealt with it, but paid the price for it. And listen, that's good news, because good people do not make it to heaven. Forgiven people do. And the message of the cross is that God loved you too much to leave you lost in your sin and lost in your past. He rescued you from your past by the cross of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 underlines it and says, God shows us his love for us, that while we were even still sinners, Christ died for you and for me. That same beam that reminds us about the power of the cross to forgive our sins and heal us of our past intersects with that beam that moves upward and points downward. And it can remind you and it can encourage you that God is an ever-present help in a time of need. Come on, right where you are today, regardless of what you're walking through today, your present tense circumstances and situations, maybe you've got some struggles, maybe you're battling with some sin, God is there, and the invitation of the cross is to just get real. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of all those sins and even remove them as far as the east is from the west. Come on, that's a long ways. He's an ever-present help right where you are today. He knows where you are. Get real with him. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And that same beam that reminds us that our past is forgiven points towards your future. And listen, you need to be encouraged. Jesus came and died on that cross to do so much more than just give you a ticket to heaven. He came to buy and to purchase a future for you, a future that's filled with hope. That Jesus became fully human in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. In other words, Jesus came. He experienced the trials. He experienced the sufferings. He experienced the temptations that we go through. And now he's seated at the right hand of God, interceding and petitioning for you and for me. The Bible says, because he himself suffered, he is able to help those who are now suffering. The cross of Jesus Christ made a way for relationship to be restored, made a way for sin and death and the grave to be defeated, made a way for your past and your sin to be forgiven. And where it intersects, it's a reminder that God is with you right where you are today. Whatever you're going through, when you get real with God, it's not when God finds out about your struggles. It's not when he finds out about your problems. It's when we begin to discover the power of God to begin to be set free from those things, to begin to be made whole, to begin to be healed in our hearts and in our minds. The cross of Jesus Christ did so much more than just get you to heaven. But listen, the same beam that points towards our past and reminds us that we're forgiven also points toward your future. And listen, God has a hope. He has a plan. He has a good future for you and your family and your marriage. He is not finished with you. And listen, if you're up against some trying circumstances, or maybe you look around and you say, but how are we ever going to get to those promises or those things that God has for me, my marriage, my family? Listen, I want to encourage you today. Just think about it. Our entire faith is built upon resurrection from the dead. Faith for impossible things is part of your DNA. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, come on, when you look upon that cross, we can forever be reminded of relationship restored, sin, death, and the grave defeated, our sin and our past forgiven and healed. God is an ever-present help in a time of need, a time of trouble. And the fact that God has a future for you. And I'm reminded of the story of a father and his only son. A father and a son who were so close. They loved each other dearly. And especially after the untimely passing of the man's wife, the mother of the son. They shared their lives together, with the father pouring out his life into the life of the son, taking an interest in all the son's interests and activities. And the son doing the same, taking an interest in the things that brought the father joy. And one day the boy had grown up and become a young man, and he was called off to war. And communication in those days was next to impossible. Word traveled slow. And so this man who dearly loved his son would oftentimes sit in his library where he had amassed a great collection of artwork, priceless artwork. And he would sit in that library and pray to the Father and say, Lord, protect and keep my son as he's off at war. And one day the father received a telegram. And that telegram informed him that his son had been killed in battle, but had died a hero, that he had charged back into the fight, rescuing a group of soldiers that would not be alive today if not for the heroic actions of his son. The father took solace from the fact that his son had died courageously, but as it would impact any of us, he grieved, and he grieved the loss of his dear son. And one evening, the man was sitting in his library, surrounded by the priceless artwork, the value of which could never replace the hopes and the dreams that he had for his one and only son. When there was a knock upon the door, and the man went and answered it, and standing in the doorway was a young man in a military uniform, holding a package. And the young man introduced himself and said, Sir, I'm one of the young men who was saved by the heroic actions of your son, and I'm here to thank you. And in the many hours that we spent together in the trenches, between the battles, we would talk, and he would talk about his love for you, and he would talk about the things and the interests that you shared together as father and as son. And one of the things he mentioned was your shared love for art. And the young man went on and he said, I'll never forget the face of your son charging back in the battle to lay his life down so that I could be saved. And the young man said, I'm no famous artist, but it's just a small token of my gratitude for the sacrifice of your son. I painted a portrait. Because there's not a day that goes by that I don't think upon his face and the sacrifice he made so that I could live. And the father received the painting and unwrapped it and was overcome by emotion. And immediately he took it into his library that was filled with priceless works of art. And he moved the priceless works of art aside and placed that portrait of his son in the most prominent place upon his mantle. For several years, as the father grew old, he would sit in his library looking upon that portrait, remembering the sacrifice of his son, grieving the loss, but grateful for the heroic, courageous way his son had changed the lives of others. And a few years later, the old man himself passed away, and the art world began to clamor with anticipation for the auction at which all the priceless works of art this man had accumulated would be made available to them. And on the day of the auction, the room was filled with art collectors from around the world. And the auctioneer stood and began the auction, honoring the wishes of the father that the portrait of the son be offered first. So the gavel banged and the auction began, but there were no interested parties. The room was silent. Until a man in the back who was only there because he had been a friend of the father. He was not a man of means and had no intention to bid upon the priceless pieces of art. In a way to honor his friendship with the father, he spoke up and he said, I bid $100. The auctioneer thought surely this would begin a round of bidding, but to no avail. The room remained silent with the art collectors who had gathered from around the world ready to move on to the priceless artifacts that were yet to be offered. Going once, going twice, sold to the man in the back of the room for $100. And with the portrait of the son having sold, the auctioneer banged his gavel upon the podium and declared, "This auction is over." The room gasped. What about all the priceless pieces of art we have come all this way to acquire for ourselves? The auctioneer calmed the room and said, "This is being done according to the will of the Father. For the Father declared in his will that whoever gets the Son gets it all." And this is the message of Easter. This is the message of the cross. A father who so loved the world that he sent his one and only son to die on that cross so that relationship could be restored, so that sin, death, and the grave could forever be defeated, so that your past and your sin, your guilt, and your shame could forever be forgiven, so he could lead you forward to the future he has for you. And so today, the most important thing we do is give you the opportunity to receive the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe today you're far from God. Maybe you once knew God or served God. And maybe especially in light of everything we're walking through, you've realized your heart has been far from him. Or maybe you've realized that your hope and your trust has been misplaced. And today is the day to rededicate your life to God. And if that's you, come on, right where you are, right where you sit, right where you're standing, just say yes. Just say yes to Jesus. Just begin right there to give your life to him. And if that's you, if you're responding to Jesus, we want to pray with you and we want to pray for you. And church family, you know we do this together with those people who are responding. And we do it for a couple of reasons. One, to show you that we want to come alongside you right from the start to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. And two is to remind us that even as we're growing in our faith, we never graduate from grace. And so come on, let's pray this together with those who are responding to the Lord Jesus. Come on, repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could not pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you that life, and I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, because of the cross of Jesus, I'll never be the same. Come on, I'll never be the same. And right where you are today, would you just rejoice with all of heaven for those precious people who have given their lives to Jesus today? So before we close in worship today, I want us to take the time to take communion together. And listen, right there where you are, whatever you have access to, whether it's crackers or bread or juice or whatever you could put your hands on to eat and drink, I really believe it's not about what you hold in your hand in this moment. It's about the posture of your heart. And Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And so whatever you have in your hand, whatever you have in your cup, I want you to begin to just give thanks for what the Lord Jesus did for you. For what Easter is all about, the fact that God came and he sent his son to pay the price, to make a way that we might have a new life and a fresh start. Right there where you are, whatever you have in your hand, a bread, a cracker, a chip, an Oreo cookie, just hold it in your hand, but turn your heart towards God. And would you pray over whatever it is you have in your hand? Father, in Jesus' name, we're so thankful for what this represents, what we hold in our hand today, God, the body of Jesus Christ, given as a sacrifice that we might be restored and redeemed and made whole to a relationship with you. And we take it today, Lord, more mindful than ever of the price that was paid and of the gratitude we have for who you are and what you've done in our life. And right where you are today, just take the bread or take the cracker, whatever you have, just take it, but remember Jesus, his body given for you. And then take the cup, whatever you have, just hold it in your hand. Turn your heart towards God. Come on, let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this cup and what it represents, the shed blood of Jesus that was shed upon Calvary to pay the price we could not pay, to wash away, to cleanse us of all of our sin, and to make us new. And more than ever, we're grateful, Lord. We're grateful for everything that this cup represents. The newness of life, the forgiveness of our sins, the future we have in you. Come on, right there, wherever you are and whoever you're with, just take that cup in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Well, I don't know about you, but I am forever grateful for the relationship, the forgiveness, and the future that God made possible for us through the cross of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's join together one more time and worship the Lord together this Resurrection Sunday.
I needed rescue. My sin was chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. When you call my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Shout his name, Jesus!
We hope that this service was a blessing and an encouragement to you. And at Rev City, we are family and we care about you. So if you have any prayer requests or any needs during this time, would you text CARE to 30500? Because we want to follow up with you.
Yeah, we love you and we're praying for you. And be encouraged. Stand firm. Stand fast on the Word of God and His promises for your life. Look to Jesus to be the source of your health, protection, and provision in this season. God bless you. Have a great day.